$200 bribe induced him to swear to confession of Conley, says pastor. The Atlanta Constitution, Thursday, the 30th of April, 1914, page 1, column 1. Reverend C.B. Ragsdale declared that necessity caused him to make a false affidavit in the Frank case, and he did not fully realize what he was doing. The Committee of Six appointed by the Plum Street Baptist Church, of which Reverend Ragsdale is pastor, to investigate the alleged signing of a false affidavit by their pastor in the Frank case, made their report last night to the church in conference. The report declared that they, the committee, had on Monday night gone to the home of their pastor, and he had admitted to them that he was guilty of swearing falsely in the matter, and thereupon tendered his resignation. The report testified that Reverend Ragsdale stated to the committee that, in the presence of his lawyer, Colonel Arthur Thurman, and also Detective William J. Burns, Detective Tedder, and R.L. Barber, the affidavit was drawn from him in a moment of pressing temptation upon the offer of $200, and that he did not realize what he was doing. But, continues the report, when he did realize what he was doing, he went to Solicitor Hugh Dorsey on Monday and told him of the affair. He did not tell the committee, however, who offered him the bribe. He said this conference took place in Thurman's office. At the meeting last night at the Plum Street Church, the question of acceptance or rejection of their pastor's resignation was put before the membership and was accepted. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone, was the disposition of the attitude of the majority of the flock, rather than a direct condemnation of their pastor's deed. But tradition to oust the fallen and outside sentiment pressed in upon the little congregation so strongly that it invoked a heated discussion as to whether or not the pastor should be severely disciplined, as is the disobedient soldier who is sent forth from the army ranks, branded with a dishonorable discharge. The discussion ended, however, with the unanimous acceptance by the congregation of a resolution to receive Reverend Ragsdale's resignation, and members present volunteered subscriptions to pay him his month's salary. Several of the members testified that Reverend Ragsdale had not possessed his full mental powers since being attacked by apoplexy some time ago, and that his family had often spoken of spells that he experienced during which time he was not himself. The pastor is about 60 years old and has grown children. The charge he had been tending is not a large one, and his salary was only $35 a month. It was reported Wednesday night that Detective Burns had gone to Oklahoma on business with the courts of that state. Wednesday morning, he checked out at the Georgian Terrace, where he had been stopping. He could not be located at any of the more prominent downtown hotels, and men at his Atlanta agency office declared that they could not say where he was. Attorneys for both the prosecution and defense of Leo M. Frank have their cases in hand for the resumption of the hearing Friday morning before Judge Ben Hill of the Criminal Division of the Fulton Superior Court of the extraordinary motion for a new trial for Leo M. Frank. The prosecution had considered asking that the resumption of the hearing be moved up to Thursday morning, but decided not to ask this, so the hearing will now come at the appointed time. It is possible that the defense may amend its motion to introduce the notes alleged to have been written by Jim Conley to Annie Maud Carter. But this, it is expected, will not require a further postponing of the hearing. Solicitor Hugh M. Dorsey had his evidence practically in hand to combat the defense's motion. The solicitor was in consultation with Detective John Black of City Detective Headquarters Wednesday afternoon. The final report of William J. Burns, which had been submitted to counsel for the defense and part of which had been made public, is expected to be made public in its entirety in the presentation of evidence at the hearing. Dr. J. M. Pierce had sent the following card to the Constitution. Editor Constitution, in explanation of my name being connected with the Reverend C. B. Ragsdale's phase of the Frank case, I wish to state that several days ago my friend and neighbor, Dr. B. Wildauer, asked me if I knew the Reverend C. B. Ragsdale. I told him I did. He asked about his character and his being a truthful man, and if I would believe him on oath. I told him I would, as I had known him for several years, and had had dealings with him in a professional way, and had always known him to be a truthful and reliable man. He asked me if I would make an affidavit to that effect, and I answered I would. I then made the affidavit expressing my confidence in the man's character. Dr. J. M. Pierce, 515 Grant Building,